You think our times don't make sense? The Bible predicts a generation where that will be the new norm.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today, Jan talks to Pastor Tom Hughes about issues of the day that are alarming, predicted, perilous, and that are a herald of His coming. We have often said that when things don't make sense, all we can do as believers is be salt and light and delay the decay. Pastor Tom Hughes pastors 412 Church in San Jacinto, California, part of the Calvary Chapel stream of churches. He has a love for the prophetic theme and gives weekly YouTube updates that will help you understand that it is later than you think. Now here is Jan Markell.
America is supposed to be a light to the world. We began as a Christian nation, and I believe we have passed the Rubicon. I'm not putting a time frame on anything, but folks, this does not look good. This does not bode well. Apart from major awakening and repentance by our leaders, understand this too. When Israel and Judah were both judged, there were good prophets and Jews who loved God in both of those territories. You know that? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Amos, all of the minor prophets and the major prophets, they were all part of that. But the leaders who were leading the nation, the judges were making these decisions. We are watching the same thing. So there's people here who love the Lord with all their heart. They hate what they see happening. It's frightening for me to think of that.
Welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. You know, 2 Timothy 3 talks about a last days scenario that is not a pretty picture. It speaks of a time when people think of mainly self-money. They're proud, arrogant, boastful, without natural affection, disobedient to parents, and more. And the whole passage talks about perilous times. And I recently saw an outstanding video online by Pastor Tom Hughes, 10 Signs We Are Living in Perilous Times. We're going to talk about that and more for the next two segments. Frankly, there are 110 reasons we're in perilous times. I'm going to add to my guest's 10 reasons that we're living in perilous times. And my guest for the next two segments, Pastor Tom Hughes, Pastor 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. Tom Hughes, welcome back to the program.
Hey, great. Thank you, Jan. It is always wonderful talking with you, being with you, seeing you. It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit some of your points. I'm going to add to them, as I said. And let's talk a little bit about 10 reasons. Might end up here with 12, 13, 14 by the time we're through with our first segment here. But your little video was 10 signs we are living in perilous times. Number one, an out-of-control national debt in America. And then we add to that, Tom, the kind of the furthering of things like, oh, this Green New Deal or Medicare for All, and we're talking about an additional trillions and trillions of dollars, and nobody seems to care that we don't have that kind of money, but everybody's in strong delusion, I think.
A strong delusion would be a great way of putting it, which would be another one of the signs, too.
Yeah.
So you have $22 trillion in debt already. And then I read an article the other day that said the Green New Deal realistically would cost $150 trillion. So we can't even deal with $1 trillion, let alone $22 trillion. Add to that another $150 trillion, and it's just a nightmare situation.
It is. Again, delusion is probably the only word that really describes it all. You went on to say another reason that we're probably living in perilous times is, I found it interesting, you said growing mental instability. And I mean, we have a push for every aberration, including, you know, marrying ourselves, marrying our pets, marrying a tree, a computer. I mean, we've been given clearly over to that reprobate mind. You even talked about we now have meds that are going to erase loneliness, but growing mental instability. Talk to me about that for a moment.
Well, we're watching it everywhere that's happening. But also, if you look at even the passage that you're quoting, 2 Timothy chapter 3, when you read what those things are, they're definitely spiritual problems, but they also are affecting the mind. Then in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. And then going on from there, and you look at it, you start realizing what we've really got. We have mental issues in this country. We have spiritual problems that I believe are even being diagnosed as mental illness. Not that there isn't mental illness, but you look at what's really taking place, and we have a people, and we have laws that just have removed God from everywhere, and it is affecting the mental stability of so many people.
Well, 10 signs we are living in perilous times, and number 3, end time pestilence, and you actually did an entire little YouTube video on end time pestilence. Why don't you summarize that in a minute or two? It was excellent.
When you look at end times pestilence, we could go back to the Olivet Discourse, and one of the signs of the last days will be the rise in pestilence. And we know also because of the words of Jesus and the words of Paul that these things will increase like birth pains upon a pregnant woman. So they're going to increase in frequency and intensity. And we are watching these things develop, things that we thought were gone. We're watching what's taking place with Ebola in Africa. Listen, that is not going away.
That's right, it isn't.
We keep hearing of people that are escaping. There are hold centers in these places in Africa that are affected by Ebola. We have the flu symptoms. There's mumps break out. There's measles breaking out. And then you start looking at the more serious diseases and pestilence that are out there. Doctors are all saying, I hear all the time, Center for Disease Control, the WHO, World Health Organization, we are entering into an apocalyptic scenario. In fact, it was Sally Davies, who I believe her name from the UK, World Health there, and she was talking about the problem becoming so severe that it was just a matter of years, less than 10 years, when this world would experience pestilence in an apocalyptic scenario. Mm-hmm. So we hear those words, and we think of the Bible. Jesus said these things will be like pregnancy pains upon a woman who's about ready to give birth. They are growing. These things are growing. They're not getting smaller. Scientists know this is a problem.
By the way, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking to Pastor Tom Hughes. You can learn more at hopeforourtimes.com. He pastors 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. I actually ministered with Tom exactly 1 year ago here in Twin Cities area and saw him again in a conference a few months ago in Oklahoma City. Tom, the increasing volatility in world government / the rush to globalism. I want to stay on that for just an extra minute here because I find the rush to globalism a little bit troubling. Certainly predicted prophecies that the Bible talks so often, and you have focused, and so have I, on Revelation 13, Revelation 17, the coming one world system. But this increasing volatility in world governments, tell me just for a minute here what you mean by that.
We're watching it. We're watching the instability over in Europe, obviously, and here in America. And I am absolutely convinced what we are experiencing is the nationalists versus the globalists. Mm-hmm. Nationalists have had such a bad name over the decades, going back to the days of Hitler. But what's being labeled as nationalist now is different than it was in the days of Hitler. So you're automatically labeled by the globalists, by the mainstream media in America and in Western Europe, as being an evil person if you're a nationalist. They try to equate you with Hitler. Well, this is just the opposite of what's happening. What's happening is there's a lot of people like you, myself, others who read the Bible who can tell, wait, everything is going towards this global agenda. This whole thing is evil. And Jan, you and I are watching all these things rising in America right now with socialism.
Yeah.
And this socialism is absolutely radical. And I'm convinced it is part of the globalist agenda to bring down America. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but just with some of the facts, and you look at the Green New Deal, I believe that even plays into it.
One of the things I was going to add, you have 10 points that indicate that we're in perilous times, is this new love of socialism, because I think that's terribly dangerous. You and I know socialism doesn't work anywhere, never has, never will. Margaret Thatcher says you are going to run out of other people's money eventually. But just staying on this global issue for a moment, this longing for one world, longing for one world ruler or rulership, and this push to get rid of borders. I've got a theory, Tom, that what's going on, this turmoil in Washington, you can speak into this, please. This turmoil in Washington, everybody's at each other's throats, but the left, and it doesn't have to be exclusively the left, because those on the right are in love with globalism. This push to get rid of borders, it's because there are globalists in the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. And Trump's refusal to be much of a fan of globalism has a lot of people in Washington really upset. And I have come to the conclusion that the turmoil in Washington, the root of it could be the love of globalism on the part of both parties.
I agree 100%. So Trump, you know, he gets elected, he's going to clean up the swamp. Well, this swamp is much greater than just some small swamp. It's really a really bad situation. There's very few people, it seems, in Washington that really support him. And I'm convinced that so many leaders, they want globalism. They're going to be at the top of this. And some of them, Jan, even think what they're doing is good. Some of them, I'm convinced, they know what they're doing is they're making their way to the top, and they're going to make sure they keep everybody else down, which is essentially what socialism does, is it creates equality, equal amounts of poverty, with a few leaders at the very top. But when we see the border problem on the southern border of the United States, I'm from Southern California, and we hear about it all the time. This is a huge problem. I don't have a problem with legal immigration, but now there's just threats of millions of people coming across these borders. If you let in this many illegal immigrants, what you're going to have are free votes for the leftist agenda.
Right, right.
And I see that as really what is taking place here. And it will, you know, you let enough people like that in, you will end up with socialism in this country. And I also look at the Bible and the whole global agenda and what the kingdom of the Antichrist is going to lead, and it appears to me it's going to be very much along the socialist agenda.
Well, here's the fellow who threw the biggest monkey wrench into the plans of the globalists.
No country has ever prospered that failed to put its own interests first. Both our friends and our enemies put their countries above ours, and we, while being fair to them, must start doing the same. We will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
For this to happen, for this one world to happen, something's going to have to spark it. It could be weather-related, could be terror-related, could be a financial crisis, could be environmental-related, could be World War III. But, you know, I think you and I know it's going to spark it. It's going to be the rapture that sparks this global empire, this global kingdom of one nation on earth.
I would say that I don't think this global system that so many people are trying to drive to is going to happen unless the rapture takes place. There will be the attempts. I think Trump, as you mentioned, he's in the way of this whole thing. I have no doubt that God's put him in there for whatever purpose, but he's definitely thrown a monkey wrench in it. If you look at 2 Thessalonians and you have the restrainer taken out of the way,
right. The
whole rapture, this the Holy Spirit working through the believers, listen, if you can totally tell, anybody can look at this. You don't even have to be saved to look at this and go, something is restraining this whole thing. Something is holding this whole thing back. So I find it interesting that in the English Bible you have the word restrainer, because that describes what is happening right now to all the evil that you can tell is about ready to break out. It's as bad as it is.
Yeah.
But the globalist agenda is being restrained, and I am absolutely convinced it is through the Holy Spirit working through believers, and the restrainer is going to be taken away. The rapture is going to happen, praise the Lord. I look forward to His glorious coming for us.
Okay, we're kind of reviewing some points that came off of a online video Tom Hughes made a few weeks ago. You can learn more at his website, hopeforourtimes.com, where he posts these weekly, usually prophecy updates. And the one he put out a couple of weeks ago, which I really resonated with, are 10 signs that we're in perilous times, and I'm adding to them, so kind of ended up here with 15 or so of those signs. Tom rushing on just a few more, and one, it would be the stunning rise in anti-Semitism. Recently, just a couple days ago, saw a picture of a Belgian carnival float featuring puppets of grinning Jews holding on to money bags. And a rabbi in Belgium said this: participants in a street celebration in the Belgian city of Aalst paraded giant puppets of Orthodox Jews and a rat atop money bags. Chief Rabbi so-and-so condemned the float, saying, that the Carnival Street celebration was shocking and it contains typical anti-Semitic caricatures from 1939, he told the Jewish Telegraphic agencies. This is a day, Tom, when I'm sorry I don't have TV because the picture of this float is simply stunning in a very horrible way. And by the way, folks, you can view some of this on our YouTube channel. We post this program to the Jan Markell channel on Saturday morning, complete with pictures to complement the audio. That's something new. Check it out. But the Belgian carnival float and the stunning rise of anti-Semitism, we got Jews literally fleeing Europe for Israel. I think it's one of the signs.
I think it may be the biggest sign of all. When you have to look at the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Jan, I saw the same float.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I look at that. Here's what so fascinates me regarding the sign of anti-Semitism is in the Bible, Zechariah prophesies, God through Zechariah, that the world is going to turn against Israel. The anti-Semitism of the last days, just before Christ comes, is going to morph into anti-Zionism too. Because when you read about it in the Bible, it's against Israel, it's against the Jewish people, it's against them being in the land. This is what Zechariah 12 teaches. And so we have anti-Semitism that is happening in Europe, in America, in various places, and Jews are moving back home to Israel. And it's morphed into anti-Zionism, which is what God says it's going to be in the days just before he returns. And it's never been able to be that way in years past. Pre-1948,
right. With
anti-Semitism in different pockets of the world. Last days, it'll morph into anti-Zionism. Incredible sign.
Some more signs that we're living in perilous times that is taken right out of 2 Timothy 3 would be, Tom, I think, the lawlessness, and particularly in Washington, D.C. I mean, efforts to unseat a duly elected president and a subset of people who hate Donald Trump far more than they care for our nation that they've been elected to protect. So this lawlessness directed heavily against a sitting president, duly elected.
Yeah, watching this, Jesus said lawlessness will abound, and it is abounding. Everything described in 2 Timothy chapter 3 points to that lawlessness. And then I can't help again but think Paul, speaking of the latter times, said they'll give heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Tell me this doesn't describe Washington. Lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This describes exactly where we are in Washington, the things we're seeing on the news. It is complete insanity. And In fact, I was talking with a friend this morning from the school district, a California school district. We both agreed the only way you can describe what's happening in this state and in Washington is demonic and these deceiving spirits. I don't know how else to define it.
And staying in the venue of Washington, we have another, again, talking about signs that we're living out 2 Timothy 3, perilous times. We have blatant, back to this anti-Semitism, anti-Israel representatives in our Congress. I mean, one, a radical Muslim, sadly, from Minnesota, one, a Palestinian. And then we're back to this kook who advocates we get rid of our planes, cars, cows, and capitalism. But the anti-Israel sentiment of these women is shocking. And I think it's one of the perilous signs, perilous times.
Oh, absolutely. When we have leaders that are saying these things about the Jewish people, we know that Islamic side comes from also, it's about removing the Jews from the Mideast too.
Right.
And so we're hearing it. So you have people in Minnesota that are leaders that are saying these things. So it's not just crazy California leaders. There's leaders in this entire nation. And you know what, Jan, when you look at, you go all the way back to the nation of Israel or the time of Judah with Babylon, there were some outstanding believers in the Lord, the prophets, minor and major prophets. But it was the leaders, it was the judges that had gone so apostate and so much against God. And God brought judgment on Judah and Israel because of that. But we're watching this and going, how is it that we actually have leaders in Washington that let these things continue to be proclaimed and just with a slap on the wrist?
Yeah, that's exactly right, just a slap on the wrist. When I get back, Tom Hughes, I want to pick up on this again, the signs that we're kind of living out, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times. But I want to spend just a moment on the next one, and that is that humanity's value system seems to be turned upside down. And I want to spend just a moment. I'm going to play a clip. It's going to be troubling, folks. And it's by a young fellow who's talking to Well, he's a drag queen. He's visiting the story time hours in various libraries. You're going to hear his story. And then, Tom, you and I are going to interject some hope here because we don't want to just focus on the dark. We'll do that in just a minute. I'm coming right back. Don't go away.
To stay up to date on current issues, check our daily headlines posted hourly all week long. Go to olivetreeviews.org and then to news. We want to assure you that in spite of perilous times, things aren't falling apart. They are falling into place. We help you connect the dots each week here on Understanding the Times Radio. Connect with us at olivetreeviews.org by calling us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or by writing to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. More with Jan and Pastor Tom Hughes in just a moment.
What do you think the state of the world is going to be in right after the rapture?
Well, with the restrainer gone, I think it's going to be... We think we have anarchy now and chaos now. We haven't seen anything yet.
Just what are the seals of Revelation? We are carrying a 10-DVD set, 20-part study, produced by Pastor Billy Crone on the seals. This documentary takes you on an in-depth journey through the first half of the tribulation from which the church is absent. Featured in the production are Jan Markell, Dr. Dave Reagan, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Nathan Jones. Find it in our web store, olivetreeviews.org, or by calling us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be available in our print and e-newsletter. The cost is $45 plus $6 shipping in the U.S. The Seals, a panoramic view of the first half of the tribulation, 20-part study, would be ideal for your small group or adult Sunday school class. Check it out today.
Jen, this is frightening. This is appalling. And I look and go, this is where we are in America. This is where we are in the world. But in America, I'm looking at this going, the only way we could have possibly ended up like this is if we removed God from our schools, we removed him from our libraries, we removed him from Washington. Well, that's what we've done. And so Satan has filled the void. If you don't have God there, guess what? It is not going to be good that it's going to fill that void. It's going to be this. But it's all dressed up to make it appealing.
We return to the discussion with Pastor Tom Hughes of 412 Church in San Jacinto, California, and their discussion on the tide of our times, summed up in 2 Timothy 3. Perilous times. Events today cannot be explained apart from a biblical interpretation, and a reminder that almost all were foretold by the writers of the Bible. Enjoy the weekly prophecy updates on YouTube done by Pastor Tom Hughes, posted at hopeforourtimes.com. Our programming can be heard electronically every Saturday morning at olivetreeviews.org and on our YouTube channel. Now back to Jan Markell and Tom Hughes.
So I want to urge you to remember that and to see that part of the end times climate that we see right now is not only pushing for global changes and not only pushing for global economy and for global government and for global religion. And of course, when we saw how the Pope and the Imam of Al-Azhar signing a pact that basically not even mentioning Jesus at all and not even mentioning the Lord God of Israel at all, but they believe that all ways leads to God and they believe that you just need to be a good person and Islam is a religion of peace and Christianity doesn't need Jesus, just be good people. We're watching before our eyes the creation of world religion. We're watching before our eyes the creation of world government with the climate change narrative. We're watching before our eyes since January 1st, using cash in Israel has been limited to a very small amount. Do you know that even Israel, in the effort to fight money laundering and terrorism and all of that, we are forbidding people from using too much cash. The cashless societies around the world are increasing. And of course, people are, as of the end of December of 2018, the chip implants are all around the world right now. And God knows, maybe the next implant will be so microscopic that you will actually be able to tattoo it on you. And tattoos will become the next way of payment.
And welcome back. Familiar voice of Amir Sarfati, who will be one of my conference speakers coming up September 21st. Yeah, some interesting thoughts that Amir was sharing there, and some of the discussion today. By the way, he'll be my radio guest next weekend, playing off of a very interesting little YouTube I saw produced by Pastor Tom Hughes, 412 Church, San Jacinto, California, 10 signs we are living in perilous times. I've added to them, so we ended up with maybe 15 or so, and we're talking about them for these two segments. Tom is the pastor of 412 Church in San Jacinto, California. Learn more at hopeforourtimes.com. Hopeforourtimes.com. We'll say more about his forthcoming Hope for Our Times first annual conference coming up end of June. We'll get into that in just a moment. Tom, I want to move on, and I gave a little tease last segment, and I said I wanted to deal with, it was one of your points, I think it was your number six, and that is humanity's value systems are upside down. We're into Romans 1, the depraved mind. Up is down, black is white, everyone is drowning in politically correct nonsense. People not sure what gender they are. Drag queens appearing everywhere, one of them even named Antichrist, which is a mockery of Jesus Christ and a play on the term Antichrist. Obviously, we've had this horrible abortion situation here in America in the last 2-3 months, actually killing infants born alive. Anyway, you talk to me about the humanity value systems turned upside down, and then I want to play a clip.
Well, Isaiah wrote about a time coming when right would be wrong and wrong would be right. And I'd say we live in those times. And Jen, you mentioned Romans chapter 1, and this is what I've been warning people of lately, where God talks about giving people over to a debased mind. I believe it appears we've been given over to a debased mind. And then God says this in Romans 1, he's not only going to judge those who practice those things, but those who approve of them. This goes down to everything from you voting for somebody to voting for a candidate that supports those things, or you just approving of it in general society. So we live there, and I got to look and go, we've been given over to this. This is a frightening thought to me, especially, Jan, you know, I know people don't want to hear it that much, but just thinking about these abortion laws lately, where in New York City, celebrating, lighting up the World Trade Center,
exactly,
and celebrating these things is absolutely, it's not just appalling, it's alarming. The good news is that there could be an awakening, is that Jesus loves us. There's forgiveness for
absolutely
women who have had abortions. I praise God for that. I've met many that have come to know Christ because they feel horrible about what they've done. They bought into the lie, and these are lies of the devil, but if you have the doctrine of demons and deceiving spirits running the country, then people are getting sucked right into this.
Well, I said I wanted to play a clip. It's a little bit of a troubling clip. It's of a young man, because we're still in this category here. Humanity value systems turned upside down. That's one of Tom's points that would indicate that we are living in perilous times. I mean, how much more perilous can it be, Tom Hughes, than drag queens reading stories to 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds? But worse than that, the parents looking on in glee.
Hi, my name is Dylan Pontiff. I'm actually going to be one of the drag queens reading for Drag Queen Storytime. Apparently, to a lot of people in this room, I'm the big boogeyman. And as you can see, I'm probably the most unintimidating person you've ever seen in your entire life. I decided to do this event whenever it was introduced because I have nieces and nephews that I love very much, and I am a person that has been through a lot in their lives. I've been bullied most of my life for being a gay male, being not necessarily what the typical man is. I thought that this event could be something that shows people and shows children, especially at that age, that understanding that people are different than you doesn't necessarily make them unnormal or makes them not good. I think that what's truly sad is that once I was announced as the person reading, the amount of hate that I received because of this resolution that is been presented to this board, I was being called an it, I've been called disgusting. I don't think any of these people know me well enough to say any of those things. I think that the true misunderstanding of what this event is supposed to be and what me dressing up in drag for it is going to be. I am not there to push any kind of agenda. I was told at the library council meeting last night that I'm pushing the trans agenda. I'm pushing an overly sexualized agenda, and that is furthest from the truth. I am just as talented as a singer or a dancer or anyone that has a special talent. It just mine is dressing up as a woman and entertaining a crowd. Now, everywhere you can go, you can see that people can change their views for certain audiences. Just as much as someone can be an actor and be in an actor movie for a rated R movie, and they can go around and be in a G-rated movie, I can go and entertain an adult in a club, but also entertain a group of students and young children. I'm able to do that because I'm an adult and I know how to filter myself. And I just think that it is implorable of some of the opinions that I've seen and some of the looks I received here tonight. The eyes that people give you whenever they think that you are the one that's in support of this event is truly disgusting. I am not here to obviously change anyone's views about me, but I'm here to let you know that this event is something that's going to be very beautiful, and for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation. We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did. And just because I said that, you heard the little plore of people behind me. It's disgusting. We are trying to teach people to be tolerable, to be patient, to be loving. The fact of the matter is that I'm standing right here and there's probably 50 people behind me looking at me with daggers, wishing that I would probably die in a car wreck whenever I leave here. It's truly implorable. That is what we're trying to do at Drag Queen Storytime. We're trying to raise people to be loving and caring individuals. And I really hope that this event is going to do that for not only just the children at this event, but children in the future. Thank you.
Groom the next kid's generation. Luke 17:2, would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little children to sin. Your thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that clip, Jan. I caught that exact same thing. Grooming the next generation. Mm-hmm. He actually verbalized what the intent was.
That's right.
And so we see this. And then it was cloaked in love and care and kindness. It was dressed up like that. Man, this is the devil attempting to appear as an angel of light. And then you have parents that applaud these things.
That's right, you do.
Wonderful. This is what I want to do with my child. Jan, this is frightening. This is appalling. And I look and go, this is where we are in America. This is where we are in the world. But in America, I'm looking at this going, the only way we could have possibly ended up like this is if we removed God from our schools, we removed him from our libraries, we removed him from Washington. Well, that's what we've done. And so Satan has filled the void. If you don't have God there, guess what? It is not going to be good that is going to fill that void. It's going to be this. But it's all dressed up to make it appealing.
In some cases, God's been removed from the pulpit.
That's one of my big issues.
I'm so glad you included that humanity value systems turn upside down. That's one of the reasons we're in perilous times, predicted 2 Timothy 3. Again, we've got women racing against men in sports because they're transgenders, and these women can't possibly win in some of these activities. Again, it's this upside down mentality. Evil is good, good is evil, black is white. Everyone's drowning in politically correct nonsense. And I think it's one of the primary signs of the last days and the perilous times predicted in 2 Timothy 3. So I'm glad we included that, Tom.
Indeed it is.
And a couple of more points here in the 10 points, which have become about 15. And you cited strange weather patterns. I'm in Minnesota. We've got strange weather patterns. You're in California. You've got them out there as well. And then you slipped in there, men's hearts failing for fear. Why don't you expound on that for a minute?
Well, that was Jesus from Luke chapter 21 when he gave, again, the Olivet Discourse. There Luke quotes, and when he gave the Olivet Discourse there, he said, in the last days there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, the sea, and the waves will be roaring, and men's hearts will fail them from the fear and expectation of things that are coming. I look at this with a couple of different things. You have the sea and the waves roaring, which obviously affects weather patterns, even the sun and the moon affecting weather patterns. But then the fear that's happening. I believe this whole climate change is feeding on the fears of people. And people are making decisions based upon fears. And I'm telling you, Jan, I've lived in California almost 60 years. I was born and raised here. And I've never experienced weather like this before.
Yeah.
It's actually been raining and raining and raining. You've got really cold weather in Minnesota. But it's this fear that is the bigger sign. And people are going to change, be willing to have laws changed because of so-called climate change. And those climate change laws are going to affect what we're going to buy and sell. We're going to be monitored. We're going to be told where we can and can't live, and on down the list. Now, of course, I think that Jesus is going to protect us from so much of this because so much of it happens in the tribulation.
It's in the tribulation so much.
Yeah.
You're right. A lot of it's tribulation. Correct.
Yeah. We have great hope.
Yeah, great hope. Let's just hit a few more of the bullet points that we're talking about. Then we've got to offer some hope and then give a word about your conference as well. But we've got the arrival of Big Brother. My goodness, if that isn't one of the signs that we are in perilous times, they're turning into totalitarians, quite frankly. They're spying, lack of privacy, the rise of artificial intelligence. And you've done some great videos on that too, Tom. So that's one of the signs that we are now in perilous times. That's a really important one.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just technology, which is an enormous factor, and it needed to be here in the last days, but you look at China's social credit system, people being controlled. And now in Canada, I just recently read this, that police in Canada, Jan, are tracking people's negative behavior in a risk database. And it's very similar to the Chinese social credit system. You look at these things and you're thinking, what kind of dictator would not want a Chinese social credit system in their country, or what Canada is now starting to implement? Hey, if you're a dictator, you're thinking, I want to control the people, I'm going to go this way. Well, countries are starting to implement them, and then the technology is here that's going to make it real easy. And when you see the global system, you better believe this thing is coming. You look at it and you go, wow. The technology's here, but the actual plans are already being implemented to control the masses.
Well, in the rise of Mark of the Beast technology, and I played that little clip of Amir Sarfati, he was addressing some of that, and the big tech is merging with all sorts of things that are scary, including, I think, merging with the government. Tech leaders are trying to be the king of the world, and they're the masters of the universe. My goodness. Fortunately, they all lean so left with their ideology that that's what's a little on the scary side, I think, Tom.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you think of it like this, Jan, right now these tech giants have super billionaires in their companies. They're spending money that governments never would have spent before on research and development. It's like God created these super billionaires just to develop the technology necessary to bring about the end times. It couldn't have happened in a generation past. It was going to require a ton of money, more than we could ever imagine, and they've got it, and they are willing to spend it for private enterprises' purposes, and the databases are just off the charts.
Yeah, off the charts. Another sign that we're in perilous times, I think, Tom, would be kind of the pretty rampant apostasy and even corruption in the church, and we've seen this kind of come out in the last 6 months or so. We've got a couple of Chicago pastors who've been caught up in it. Then we've got more kinds of, well, aberrant theologies heading into the church. Social justice is the new mantra. I think social justice now is more important than the message of salvation. We've got the growth of New Apostolic Reformation, NAR activity. Kundalini has moved, it's a Hindu-type spirit that's literally from India, has moved into the church. These things and much more, I think, another reason why we are in these perilous predicted times.
In fact, that goes back to what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, the doctrines of demons.
True.
And people are believing these things. These things are coming from the pulpit. And Jan, my personal opinion is that if the pulpits were preaching the truth of the Bible and preaching Christ and his righteousness, then the rest of our country wouldn't have these woes that we have.
I totally agree. We want to end our segments here with some hope, and your ministry is Hope for Our Times. You've got a Hope for Our Times conference coming up, and that is June 28th, 29th, and 30th, and that's first annual Hope for Our Times conference, Hyatt Regency Indian Wells Resort in Indian Wells, California, and the cost for admission, I believe, is $80. Got speakers including, well, yourself, Jack Hibbs, Dave Reagan, Ed Heinsohn, Andy Woods, Nathan Jones, Barry Stagner, Mark Henry from Twin Cities here. And you've got a lot of others as well. Don Perkins, Don Stewart. Talk to me. This is your first one you've had, correct?
Yeah, the first one like this. We've done several at our church. Mm-hmm. Jan, I believe you're on the list too. So, listen, we're having it. The resort is absolutely beautiful. I wanted to be in an environment where church people would actually feel good about inviting unsaved people. And Jan, what I'm experiencing anyways, I think you are too, less and less churchgoers really care about the second coming of Christ.
Right.
They don't want to hear about it.
Right.
But there are unsaved people and skeptics that want to know. So we rented a fantastic facility, beautiful resort, hoping that church people will say, I'm going to invite my skeptic. I'm going to invite my unsaved friend, because they want to know the truth. There is hope. If you really understand these things, man, there is such great hope. So that's our desire, all of us who are speaking at it, our desire to invite unsaved skeptics. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic conference, beautiful place. Most of all, Jesus is proclaimed, and people are going to be pretty glad that show up.
Well, I've had the privilege of sharing a platform with a number of these fellows, including Jack Hibbs and yourself and Barry Stagner. I think it'll be a great lineup that you've got. You've got, what, 15 speakers at least, and registration cost is $80 because the hotel and other things would be extra. And I think you've got one day for $40 if they don't stay overnight?
One day for $40 and the full 3 days is $80 for all 3 days, but one day for $40.
I like to say, Tom, and we've looked at headlines for these two segments, headlines are a herald of his coming, and that is what we need to focus on rather than some of the darkness. We've talked about darkness here for almost 40 minutes. Rather than the darkness, these are signs, these are heralding the fact that the king is coming, and I know you would agree.
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at all of the signs, and throughout the Old Testament too, the Bible doesn't give us these signs for the purpose of scaring us, but that we would be prepared. He said these things will be the telltale things, so you can know, you can look up, your redemption is drawing near. You can look up. Man, these things, although they are bad things in and of themselves, what they point to is the great joy and the great hope that we have in Jesus, and he's letting us know, listen, pay attention.
Pay attention.
What's coming.
That's right.
I'm coming, and it's going to be great. I just told you these things so you would know.
I'm telling you in advance. That's the privilege we have as believers, the church. The church knows these things in advance. I'm so grateful for that, Tom. Tom Hughes, thank you for all you do. Again, learn more, folks, at hopeforourtimes.com, hopeforourtimes.com. If you're in the San Jacinto area of California, visit 412 Church. Is that a Calvary Chapel, Tom Hughes?
Yes, it is.
All right, we're going to stay in touch. Again, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
If you're a Southern California listener, we hope you'll make plans to attend the Prophecy Conference, sponsored by Pastor Tom Hughes, June 28th through 30th in Indian Wells, California. Visit hopeforourtimes.com. A few weeks ago, we featured a two-week series on music in the church. Due to overwhelming response to that programming, Jan Markell brings some closing thoughts to today's program with some comments she has received from the Music in the Church series. That's next. Why not save the date of Saturday, September 21 for Understanding the Times 2019? Tickets go on sale June 1st for $25 and include lunch. We will be selling general admission seats only and no assigned seating. Speakers this year include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Jan Markell. They will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. Location once again is Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. The teaching is timely and the fellowship is unparalleled as you make friends for life. Save the date and visit our website's conference page for a list of hotels and other pertinent information. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We hope to meet thousands of you September 21, just outside of Minneapolis.
My husband and I have visited 22 churches in our area, been asked to leave two for our speaking up about worship and other issues concerning worship and communion. Our hearts have been broken. We've lost friends, yet we still seek fellowship and a church preaching the word and singing songs of praise that did not break our eardrums and assault our sensibilities.
Let's return now to Jan Markell, who wraps up Understanding the Times Radio for this week with a short commentary. Here's Jan Markell.
Okay, heading into the close of the program here, I just wanted to make some comments because a couple of weeks ago, I did a two-part series on the worship wars, talking about the Great Divide, and that would be music in the church. And frankly, folks, I had no idea I was going to strike such a chord when I did that programming. And I want to encourage those of you who contacted me and the office here that there is sentiment out there that music in the church has gone haywire. Overwhelming response, probably more so than in the almost 19 and a half years this ministry has been on radio. No one participating in that two-part series was coming against all contemporary music. I love messianic music, and that is all in the genre of contemporary. As some of you know, I personally have played a 12-string guitar for years and years and years, so I love that instrument. So we weren't coming against, per se, contemporary music. Rather, my guests and I, Pastor Brandon Holthouse and Eric Barger, were looking at some additional issues, including inappropriate words, false theology contained in the songs, poor lifestyle on the part of some of the musicians, etc. And yes, the volume and the beat and all play into that, but that wasn't the only thing we were looking at. So what I want to do, I'm going to read a few emails because the response I got was, you feel so alone, like you had no idea that others had this sentiment. So this is Tim, who listens on American Family Radio. He says, thank you for the two-week presentation of the Worship Wars. Once again, you're on the cutting edge of how culture is influencing and impacting the church today. Just when everyone thought this was a matter of personal preference or style, we find that the enemy has for some time been at work to undermine and steal so that he may discredit the pure gospel and the purity of our worship. Thank you for helping the church to remain vigilant. The presentation was balanced without skirting the weighty issues at stake. My wife and I have served as worship leaders and church musicians and youth leaders for 30 years. We have had concerns over lyrics, message, and doctrine for some time now, at times being so bold as to rewrite lyrics to correct glaringly bad theology. Another email, this one without a name, sorry. I practically have to confess my attitude as sin to God almost every time I go to church. Here's my gripe. Besides too loud, repetitive words, young women in tight jeans jumping up and down on stage, screaming, come on, everyone, let's clap our hands, plus bad doctrine, we are now surprised that young adults are leaving the faith? Frankly, they never got the faith in the first place. Thanks to our church leaders for letting this happen. Throw out the music and bring in the Word of God. All this, by the way, coming from a musician. I heard from someone who at one time attended Hillsong in Sydney, Australia. And Tina gave me permission. She says, I used to attend Hillsong in Sydney for 11 years, left recently. I left for several reasons, one of them being Hillsong's worship, as it had descended into something more suitable for perhaps a Christian concert, but not music and words for worshiping God. I ended up having to wear earplugs in order to attend worship services, which really resembled concerts, complete with dimming the lights and excessively loud music that required soundproofing so that we did not disturb the neighborhood. Though some of their songs are biblically correct, I started to notice the creeping in of the romanticized lyrics, such as the song Keep Falling in Love, which sounds more like a love song to a potential partner than a song revering God. Also, I found a high proportion of songs that focused on what we thought or felt about God rather than actually adoring the God of creation. Additionally, there were infantile Bible studies, emotionally charged worship, the use of the Message Bible. All of these put together made my staying at Hillsong intolerable. Again, that's Tina from Australia, gave me permission. Another email. My husband suffered a head injury 21 years ago and cannot be present where the sounds are deafening because he gets seizures or can be affected for up to 24 hours. This person goes on to say, the wife of a dear missionary and Bible college professor, author, and Wycliffe Bible translator, I know has a serious heart condition and cannot go into the service as she could get a heart attack. Another lady, married to a doctor, told me she gets palpitations from the volume at which the music is played. There are others with similar or different health issues, also left out of the service, who can only enter the sanctuary once the noise is over. Is God deaf? And then she says, no name given here, but Vancouver, British Columbia, our church was putting the people of God at risk for 45 minutes, just as your program stated. Another comment here from Australia. She says, I was offered earplugs, but I was watching with horror young parents with babies in their arms, forcing these tiny babies to hear music that is far beyond what is safe for adults, let alone these tiny individuals. And then this is Gail in Australia, same email. And then she says, I am so relieved that I'm not the only one that is horrified. Just another couple of emails, and I want to play a sound clip. And this is from Kathleen, an email. My husband and I have visited 22 churches in our area, been asked to leave 2 for our speaking up about worship and other issues concerning worship and communion. Our hearts have been broken. We've lost friends, yet we still seek fellowship and a church preaching the word and singing songs of praise that did not break our eardrums and assault our sensibilities. She goes on to say, however, recently I have been told that I have a demon of religiosity, not worthy to be on the worship team, might be struck down by God for my strange fire worship music, which is all subdued type of music, yet it's strange fire. Okay, here's another one. Gregory writes, I was listening to your Worship Wars podcast today. I was very encouraged to hear this conversation taking place. As a 32-year-old millennial, which my generation has been a major target for these antics to get young people into church, it sickens me to see so many churches singing songs that fall so short of what true worship is and degrading the holiness of God at the same time. As a worship leader, it's my job to prepare the hearts and minds of those in the body to hear the word of the Lord preached. That's Gregory, who's a worship leader, 32-year-old. Now, what I'd like to do is, I'll read one more. This is from England. This is an email from England. She says, it's happening here to the point I've stopped going to church. I hate not hearing the word of God, but alas, that's not what I hear. I pray for guidance, what to do, patience. God, forgive me if I am wrong. So, in other words, I had emails and other forms of communication literally from around the world from people who are heartbroken that they've lost their church really over the music, over the worship wars, over the great divide. Now, recently, there was a, well, it was called The Send, and I'm not here to criticize The Send. It's called the Next Jesus Revolution, and maybe it is. It was in Florida, and the music for the couple-day event happened to be Bethel music, and I want to play a sample of what these young people heard by way of music, and then I'll come back and explain my issue with it.
Tonight, we want to sing it from our toes until it explodes out of our heads. And as you sing this tonight, I want you to see the generations that are coming after you. Your children and your children's children, their lives will be different because of this day. Because of how you sing this song with every fiber of your being. We're going to sing it and we're going to let it rise until it explodes. Jesus will spend every last bit of our energy on you as you are.
Yeah.
Again, this was a missions event called the Send, billed as the Next Jesus Movement. It's dedicating thousands of young people to missions. I'm all for it. But it was also a day of mind-numbing music, repetitive, what they just sang, they repeated 25 to 30 times. Critics will tell me that this is the only way to reach these young people, but the style, like we talked about for 2 weeks, is troubling. Again, the words are repetitive, and if you could see the faces of these young people, they do appear to be trance-like. Again, critics would say they're worshiping God, and I believe that's true. Anyway, I wanted to give that as one more illustration as to the problem we're dealing with. I followed this programming up with an e-newsletter. Sign up at my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to resources and then e-newsletter. And I had hundreds and hundreds of responses as I reviewed the same dilemma. Hundreds of responses, and folks said thank you, thank you, thank you. So thanks to the hundreds and even thousands who commented on our YouTube page, on our Facebook page. And almost all comments were respectful, and if you disagreed, but many disagreed respectfully, but most were in agreement. So the overall conclusion is that people are confused and they're conflicted and they're confounded when it comes to music in the church. What they're hearing, they're asking if it is of God. If it is, they wonder if church is just going to be a part of their past and not their present or their future. So something has gone wrong. We'll never all agree how to fix it. It says in Ephesians 5:19 that we're to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
We welcome your feedback when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can support this radio outreach online as well at olivetreeviews.org or by calling us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. In an age of deceit, fake news, and false teaching, thanks for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and making us one of your weekend destinations.